Okay, Rabbosan. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav concluded that you make ha'etz on shemen only when you drink it as a mixture with anigron and l'shem refuah. And the Gemara concludes, pshita, isn't it obvious that you should make a ha'etz on the shemen in that case? It's the ikar. We discussed at great length yesterday what should define the ikar and the tuffel in the case of a mixture of shemen. But the Gemara says it is the ikar. So isn't it poshut that you should make a ha'etz on the shemen in such a case? Says the Gemara, no, it's not so poshut. Mahu, the tema kevin lirfu kamachavein, lo livrecha leklau. I might think that since your kavana is only l'shem refuah, so maybe there shouldn't be any chiyuv bracha. Maybe kavanas refuah is not enough to be mechayev bracha. Kamash v'lon kevin the islay hanah minei boi bruche. Since you are getting some objective hanah, we can't deny the fact that you are getting hanah, even though your kavana is l'shem refuah, there is a chiyuv bracha. And we pointed out yesterday as well that the Gemara later on says that if someone drinks water because chanak te'umza, he's being choked by a piece of meat, there's no chiyuv to make a bracha, only shows the mayim litzimo makes a shahakal, but not if chanak te'umza. And Tosfos points out there, on Daf Mem Hei, that this is only talking about a case in which you're drinking the water to push down the blockage in your throat. But if you drink shah mashkin, there would be a chiyuv to make a bracha. Only about water do we say that if you show some litzimo, then there's a chiyuv bracha, but if not, there's no chiyuv bracha. But for other mashkin, there would be a chiyuv bracha. Why? But you're not mechaven l'shem achila, you're not mechaven l'shem hanas, says Tosfos, the source is from our Gemara, that even if you have a kavanas refuah, but if you're nene, if willy-nilly there is some kind of hanah that you get, there is a fear bracha for that hanah. We started discussing that there seems to be a problem from this Gemara and the comment of Tosfos later on to the position of the Rambam. The Gemara in the second parak says, mat emes eina te'una bracha. Someone who's towing a tavshil, someone who tastes something, there's no fear bracha for that. The Gemara concludes that halacha only applies if he's towing less than a revius. If it's more than a revius, then there is a chiyuv bracha. The Gemara actually made a comparison. It said that someone who is towing doesn't have a chiyuv bracha, and also shari b'tainis towing ve'ein b'kach klum. Someone who's in the middle of a fast, of a kind of siachid, is allowed to be towing, and there's no problem. It was a comparison between those two. And then the Gemara concludes that less than a revius, it's mutter by a tainis, and also there's no chiyuv bracha. More than a revius, the chiyuv bracha. And it's also betaimus. So the question is, what exactly does toei mean? So he said there's a machlokas rishonim. Rabbi Nochananel and Tosfos and the Rosh, Rov Rishonim, seem to say that toei means toei b'chozer upole. You have to only taste it, you put it into your mouth, but you have to spit it out. If you were to swallow, all of these Rishonim would say, of course there's a chiyuv bracha. Of course it's also to do that betaimus. So what does the Gemara mean when it says that less than a revius it's mutter, but more than a revius is going to be aser? What's the chiluk between less than a revius as opposed to more, according to this shita? If you're spitting it out anyway, who cares? So we mentioned yesterday, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Sefer Ol Moed, that if you taste so much, if you put so much into your mouth, that's a significant hanas achayich, and therefore there will be a chiyuv bracha for that. That's a big chiddush. The Sefer Ol Moed seems to be saying that if you have a hanas garo, even without a hanas mea, there might be a chiyuv bracha. Apparently, less than a revius is not a significant hanas garo to be mechayev bracha. But if you have a revius, even though you're chozer or polate, that's only producing hanas garo. Presumably, some of you wanted to say, well, isn't there hanas mea? There is some kind of juice that gets swallowed. Apparently not. Apparently, that's only called hanas garo. It's insignificant what you're swallowing. Nevertheless, this sefer seems to assume that hanas garon is sufficient to be mechayev bracha. Beis Yosef says, how could that be? We know that you need hanas garon together with hanas meyav in order to be mechayev bracha. So he's very bothered with that. But Rov Rishonim seem to interpret differently. The Rosh explains the difference between less than revius as opposed to more is really a chilek only legabe tainis, not legabe bracha. Legabe tainis, if you taste more than revius, even if you spit it out, that's apparently a significant hanah. That's too significant a hanah to say that it's going to be mutter. Which is very interesting. We pointed out, at first glance, if you read the Gemara, the conclusion of the Gemara seems to be that by kindness, the iser that a person accepted upon themselves is an iser achila ushtia. So if you're only towing, if you're towing upole, that's not achila ushtia. It comes out that that's not really the case. You really are accepting an iser hanah. But it has to be a significant hanah. It has to be a hanah b'derech achilu shia, some significant hanah. More than a revius, even if you're chozer upole, that's a significant enough hanah that even if it's not b'derech achila, it's not achila because you're not swallowing. It doesn't matter. That's a significant hanah, and that will be also b'tanis. It comes out that the maskon of the Gemara, according to the Rashi, is a little bit different. But what's interesting to note is that according to the Rosh, the chiluk between less than Revius as opposed to Revius, more than Revius, is a chiluk only vis-a-vis Tainis, not regarding Bracha. The Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis does define toeng ve'en v'kachlum as referring to toeng when you chozer polent. You only taste and then you spit it out. But the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, which comes before Hilchos Tainis, does not distinguish. Which led the Kesef Mishnah to believe that in Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam feels that even if you're boleya, there's no chiyuv bracha. Until Revius, there's no chiyuv bracha, according to the Rambam. More than a Revius, though, there is a chiyuv bracha. What's the difference? What's the difference? If more than a Revius is a chiyuv bracha because you're swallowing, so you're also swallowing with less than Revius, so why should there be a chiyuv bracha only by more than a Revius? So here the Kesef Mishnah suggests that the Rambam may have interpreted the pasuk, Yechad v'savata v'rachta, to be telling me, v'achalta uveirachta, not only do you need achila to be chayav bracha, but you need kavonas achila to be chayav bracha. And if you're swallowing for the express purpose of tasting, if your kavonas is a kavonas te'ima, not a kavonas achila, there's no chayav bracha. That's what the Rambam says, there's no chayav bracha because your kavonas is a kavonas te'ima bilvad, even if you swallow. But if you swallow more than a revius, apparently the Rambam understands that you can't call that just a kavanas te'ima. That's too significant an act to be called just having a kavanas te'ima. It must be that objectively we say that there's a kavanas achila there. There must be a kavanas achila. Now, why are you tasting so much? Revius is a significant shear. So why should you be swallowing so much? If you really only want to taste, you can taste a little bit. The fact that you're swallowing more than a revius proves that you really have a kavanas achila. Comes out that according to the Rambam, Matemes, the whole sugi of Te'ima, revolves around this point. Do you have a kavanas achila or not? If you don't have a kavanas achila, if you're only toeng l'shem Te'ima, so then even if you swallow, there's no chiyuv bracha, because according to the Rambam, the chiyuv bracha is generated only if there's a kavanas achila. So the problem is, according to the Rambam, how can we understand our Gemara? Our Gemara assumes that if all you have is a kavanas refuah, you're taking the shemen as part of the terebus with the anigro. So the Gemara says that you make a ha'etz on the shemen, even though basically you only have a kavanas refuah. There is no kavanas hanah, there's no kavanas achila. And yet the Gemara says, since objectively, willy-nilly, there is some kind of hanah, there's a chiyuv bracha. Why should there be a chiyuv bracha? According to the Rambam, there's no chiyuv bracha without a kavanas achila, without a kavanas hanah. This comes out to? There's a kavanat refuah, yes, there's a kavanas refuah, but there's no kavanas achila. So why should a kavanas refuah generate the chiyuv bracha? I don't see why refuah should be any different than te'ima. Refuah, you are getting some kind of benefit, but as we mentioned, the chiyuv bracha is not generated by hanah alone. If a person anoints himself with oil, he's also getting hanah, but that hanah does not generate a chiyuv bracha. So you might get it to swallow or something. Okay, you are swallowing something, but if you hold, first of all, if you hold like Rav Rishonim, that swallowing is not enough to generate bracha, you need achila al pidin. So, is it called achila al pidin? Once you assume according to the Rambam that you need kavanas achila, this is a simple way. Once you assume according to the Rambam that you need kavanas achila, so there is no kavanas achila. There's a kavanas refuah. I don't see the kavanas achila. You might get hanah, but there's no kavanas achila. You're not taking it l'shem achila, you're taking it l'shem refuah. So why should it be a chiyuv bracha? So I was very troubled when I read this sugya initially. I was very troubled with this kasha. And then I was very happy. I was overjoyed when I saw that the Sefer Shalom and Nisan points out that Rav Shlomo Zalman was bothered with the same kasha in a tshuva. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Tshuva's Mincha Shlomo in Simon Yud Ches asked this very kasha on the Rambam, and he says, inach anami. The kasha is such a difficult kasha on the Rambam that you have to say that the Rambam will hold that this sugya is talking about a case where the person has a kavanas hanah for the shemen as well. You're not going to make a ha'etz on the shemen unless you have kavanas hanah for the shemen as well. You must be talking about a case where there's not just a kavanas refuah. There must be a kavanas hanah, because if there's no kavanas hanah, the Rambam would hold that there's no chiyuv bracha. The Rambam says that someone who's toeing something does not have a chiyuv bracha unless he is toeing more than a revius, even if he swallows, because there's no kavanas achila. So if you don't have any kavanas hanah, which would mean a kavanas achila, you don't want the shemen for its own sake. Shlomo Zalman says, according to the Rambam, the taka would be no chiyuv bracha. So it comes out very strange. That's not what the Gemara seems to be saying. The Gemara seems to be saying, kevin the islay hanah minei boi bruche, is a hanah b'derach agav. You're getting the hanah through the back door. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to interpret that according to the Rambam, you must say it's not just through the back door. You must have the Kavanas Hanah, because without the Kavanas Hanah, there would be no Chiyuv Bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman adds that according to the Rambam, you have to say that even if Chanak Be'umtza, when presumably you don't have a Kavanas Achila, the Rambam would have to disagree with Tosfos about Chanak Be'umtza as well. Tosfos claimed again that by Chanak Be'umtza there's a distinction to be drawn between taking water to push down the blockage or taking Shem Mashkim. Tosfos says that if you take Shem Mashkim, since you do have some kind of side Hanah, even though you don't have Kavanas Achila, you really only have Kavanas Hanah, there would be a Chiyuv Bracha, just like in our sugya, you have a side Hanah, there's a Chiyuv Bracha even though you have a Kavanas Refuah. Shlomo Zalman says that according to the Rambam, since the Rambam assumes that without a Kavanas Achila, there's no Chiyuv Bracha, what you would have to say is in that case, even if you take the Shem Mashkim to push down the blockage, there would not be a Chiyuv Bracha. According to the Rambam, there would not be a Chiyuv Bracha even if you take the Shem Mashkim, even though you would say there is some kind of Hanah, you are deriving some kind of Hanah. I don't think Tosfos and the Rambam disagree as to whether there is some kind of side Hanah. But the problem is the Rambam holds without a Kavanas Achila, there's no Chiyuv Bracha. So it would come out according to this interpretation of the Rambam, because the Mishnah's interpretation of the Rambam, there would be enough to meet them between the Rambam and Tosfos. The Rambam would disagree with Tosfos on Daf Mem Hei. The Rambam would say that if Chanak Be'umtza and you take Shem Mashkim, there still is no Chiyuv Bracha. Only Tosfos would say there's a Chiyuv Bracha, because Tosfos holds that you don't need a Kavanas Achila. We started off the year describing what's the Mechayeh, what's the nature of Birchas Nen. Is it a matir? Is it a mitzvah? Then we talked a little while later when we started the sugya of Shem and Zayas, we discussed what's the Mechayeh of Bracha. Is the Mechayeh a halachic achila? Is the Mechayeh a physical achila? And we talked about that. The Rambam claims the physical achila could be Mechayeh Shahakal, not the Bracha Ru'uya, but Shahakal, yes. That was the second discussion. Now we're talking about whether you need Kavanas Achila to be Mechayeh Bracha. According to the Rambam, it could be that you need a Kavanas Achila. According to Tosfos, according to the simple reading of our Gemara, it would seem as though you shouldn't need a Kavanas Achila. Nafkamina would be, let's say Chanak De'umza, you don't have a Kavanas Achila, you won't be able to Kavanas Achila. Well, let's say, forget about Chanak De'umza, our sugya, you're taking Shemen, L'shein Refuah, you want to lubricate your throat. So if you don't have any Kavanas Achila, will the Rambam say, there's a Chiyuv Bracha? Shlomo Zalman wants to say that in both cases the Rambam would say there would be no Chiyuv Bracha. Here, the Gemara that says that you make Ha'etz on Shemen must be talking about where you do have Kavanas Hanah by the Shemen. And later on, since it's hard to believe that you have a Kavanas Hanah when you're simply taking the Shem Mashkim to remove the blockage in your throat, Chanak De'umza, the stomach of the Rambam would say that even if you take the Shem Mashkim, there is no Chiyuv Bracha against Tosfos.
That
there is a Chiyuv Bracha because there's an objective Kavanas Achila. I shouldn't even say it that way. It's that we assume that there is a Kavanas Achila. It's not just objective, it's also subjective. Meaning, if you would ask the guy, are you only Mechavi to be telling him to say, well, I want to eat a little bit too. He wouldn't tell you that he only has Kavanas Achila. It's not just we look at this situation and we say objectively, halachically, we say that's called Kavanas Achila. I don't think so. I think it means objectively, you and I will look at this case and say, come on, pal, you really have Kavanas Achila, right? And he would admit to it if you press it.
Right,
it
didn't actually
much. I think so. I think there's a real Kavanas Achila. Yeah.
So, this would be called a Hechid Himsa, the Orch and the Milta, that it says mine, and that it's referred to the Rambam at least?
The pshat is like this. The Gemara in Daven Dalet says Chanak De'umza. Why does it say Chanak De'umza? Because the Mishnah has said it shows the mayim with simbolim var shanak. So the Gemara asks lavu kaimai. See, water you only make a bracha on if you drink it because you're thirsty. Other mashkin, if you're not thirsty, you're not going to make a bracha on the stomach. You would make a bracha on it. Because why should you?
No, that's the point.
Tosfos just picked up on the Gemara. The Gemara that says Chanak De'umza happens to be talking about water. The Tosfos said you should know that only by water will we say
into this Melchiyah Bracha. By Shar Mashkin, there would be. Chalmazam wanted to say, according to the Rambam, even by Shar Mashkin, there wouldn't be a Chiyah Bracha because they talk about a second.
Because maybe the Gemara could have said Shar Mashkin, you make Shar Mashkin. It said only on someone who drinks water, you make Shar Mashkin. So maybe the reason they picked water was because it was going to bring the example about drinking it.
I was just probably understood that Mayim is Dafka. That's why the Gemara picked it up. But that's right. That's why the Gemara discussed this vis-a-vis Mayim. The Rambam apparently would say differently. Yes, Jeff.
Just to go on to the Torah, I mean, I guess they're wrong. It doesn't make sense. If you're drinking something, that's not water, you're getting the actual enjoyment out of this, no matter if you're drinking water or not. The degree that should require you to make a profit.
I don't understand. If you're towing less than a revius, you're not getting enjoyment out of it? You are, but the Rambam holds it's not for your bracha less than a revius. So you see that you need kavanas achilah. That's the whole point. So if you put two and two together, the Rambam over here as well should say, well, you're getting some kind of objective amount from the Shem Mashkin, so what? But you don't have kavanas achilah, it's not for your bracha. Yeah, no.
So subconsciously, you are getting some.
You are getting some hanah, but you don't have a kavanas achilah. That's not your intention. The Rambam is mechadish something incredible according to the Kesef. That it doesn't matter that you're deriving benefit, you need a kavanas hanah to be chayav bracha. It's a tremendous chiddush. We would have never thought that. That's why Rav Rishon disagree. Rabbi Yochanana and the Rosh and Tosas, everyone says, "Tolim means kozer ubole." You're spitting out. If you swallow a vial, it's a chayav bracha. But the Rambam disagrees with all of them, according to the Kesef Mishnah understood. Not everyone understands the Rambam that way. The Magen Avraham, they point out Magen Avraham. I guess this to see the Mishnah Berurah. Right? The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim that some Achronim, Magen Avraham and others, claim that maybe even the Rambam didn't hold like that. After all, we know the Rambam by Tain it says Toim Ukolate. So who says that by Brachis he's assuming that Toim Ubolea? Maybe it's really the same Rambam. Maybe the Rambam is the same as Tosfos. The Kesef Mishnah didn't see the Rambam like that. And Pasha Pshat is talking of the Rambam distinguishes between Tainus and Brachis. But some people were not even willing to go so far in the Rambam. But the Pashup Shad and the Rambam, look, the Mechaber certainly understood that the Rambam was a good coach. That's why he quotes two dates. It's clear that the Mechaber there in the Shulchan Aruch assumed that the Rambam was disagreeing with the Tosfos. Okay. So this is how Rav Shlomo Zalman interpreted the Rambam. The problem with this approach is not so much a problem with the Rambam, but this approach might help us for the Rambam, but it's not going to help us for other people. Who do I mean? Who else could we be talking about? Not for the Bali Tosfos. Well, let's try to examine the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the Rambam in one place, but doesn't paskin like the Rambam in the second place. And that theory in the Shulchan Aruch should force us to reevaluate what the Rambam really holds. What do I mean? The Shulchan Aruch, regarding Matemis, where are we? Oh, Shulchan Aruch on page 10. The Shulchan Aruch on page 10 in Simen Reish Yud Siv Beis says that toim es atav shel ein tzarach levarach ad revius v'afilu im ubolo. Shulchan Aruch quotes the first day is the Rambam. Even if you swallow until revius, there's no chiyuv bracha. Yesh arim shem ubolo toim bracha lo patru es atoim elak shechozu polet v'oz afilu al harbe ein tzarach bracha. Second day is the Rosh, Rabbi Nachanan and Tosfos, and the Rambam concludes with sofer brachos lahakel. As the Mishnah Berurah says, the Magen Avraham disagrees with the whole Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah, he claims that everyone agrees that if you belay, you chayav lavarach. He disagreed with the Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. But the Mishnah Berurah concludes that the many Acharonim agree with the Psak of the Ramah, it's something brachos lakal, because we don't know. Maybe the Rambam is really right. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch's understanding of the Rambam is correct, that even if you're boleya, there still is no chayav bracha until revius. So therefore, suffik brachos la'akel. It's a big chiddush. Most people don't know this. They think that if you taste and you swallow, there's a chiyah bracha. I guess the pshat is, even though suffik brachos la'akel, hakili, you probably should avoid. You probably should not swallow. That's probably what most people don't know. But technically speaking, if someone just felt uncomfortable
spitting it out. Let's say you put the food in your mouth, and then some chashuv person comes in the room. You're not going to spit it out. You feel like you want to swallow because he's going to give you shalom aleichem. So there really is no chiyuv bracha, technically speaking, if you want to swallow, technically speaking. So this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, that even if you're toying uboleya until Revius, there's no chiyuv bracha. And yet, when it comes to Chanak Tayumtza, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? That's an earlier page we have here. Page 7, the Shulchan Aruch says, Hashosa Mayim Litzimu Mavar Shahako Ulakra Barna Pashas Rabbas Avalon Chanak Tayumtza Vishosa Mayim Vishosa Mayim Mahavir Ha'umtza Eina Mavar Kolofana Vala Akra. The Shulchan Aruch is medayik that if Chanak Tayumtza, there's no Chiyuv Bracha, only if Shosa Mayim. So it's a little strange. But Shlomo Zalman would tell me that if you pass me like the Rambam by Toeim to say that even if Toeim or Golea does not see a bracha, so you should say even by Shasa Sharmashkin if Chanakta Yom Tzu does not see a bracha. And yet the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, Lagabi Te'ima, but regarding Shasa any kind of Mashkin in Chanakta Yom Tzu, who does he pass me? Like Tosfos. He sees the Diyuk in the Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says Dafka Mayim. Now you could say Laf Dafka, the Shulchan Aruch really means any Mashkin, but if so, it shouldn't have said Mayim. Right? So Shlomo Zalman's Pshad might be a good Pshad in the Rambam, but it's going to be very difficult to explain the Shulchan Aruch this way. Because the Shulchan Aruch would seem to be a stira. Shulchan Aruch seems to say that by Chanak the Yomza, only if Shasa Mayim is an Ophiyah Bracha, but if Shasa Shamash, there will be a Ophiyah Bracha. So first of all, what's the Pshad in the Shulchan Aruch? Maybe we should reevaluate the Rambam in light of the Shulchan Aruch. I saw in that beautiful sefer, Shammai Nisan, you really should look at it. It's a beautiful sefer, Rav Nissim Kaplan. Beautiful, beautiful pieces. If you did every single one, we would be here for the next several years. But a point here and a point there is really very kedai to quote from the sefer. So the sefer Shammai Nisan offers a different chat. He suggests that maybe we can distinguish between refuah as opposed to matemes in a different way. Shlomo Zalman wanted to say that there really is no distinction. They're both the same. The Rambam holds that you must have a kavanas hanah in order to be chayav bracha. The Shammai Nisan suggests that maybe there's a big difference between refuah as opposed to matemes. What's the difference? The difference is, regarding refuah, there really is a kavanas achila. Regarding matemes, there is no kavanas achila. What do I mean? It sounds very strange. The answer is, to get the benefit of a refuah, you must ingest the item. Just by tasting it, you're not going to get the benefit. You have to swallow it. The shemen. The shemen is beneficial for you. Swallow it. If you just put it in your mouth, if you enjoy the taste of the shemen, it's not going to help you too much. You have to really swallow it. So maybe the Rambam will hold this, maybe the Shulchan Aruch will say that regarding refuah, you really do have a kavanah sachila. What does that mean that you have a kavanah sachila? You have a kavanah sachila because you intend to swallow. Since to get the benefit of refuah, you must swallow, so you really do have a kavanah bliya, a kavanah to swallow. As if you're not eating shalom kederech achila, we're not going to just call that bliya. That's not just a physical achila without a halakhic achila. This is a halakhic achila. You are eating it in the normal fashion. It's both the shemen, which is mazik you. You can't just say this is just a physical act. No, it's a real achila. It's an achila. You're eating it normal. You're taking it like a normal food. The only thing is you can't say that you only have a kavanas refuah. That's not really true. You have a kavanas refuah. But to get to the refuah, you have to swallow it. So we can say that you have a kavanah sachila. If someone asks you, do you have a kavanah to swallow this? The answer is, of course, I have a kavanah to swallow it. I need to swallow it. If I don't swallow it, I'm not going to get the toelet of the refuah from the item. But when it comes to te'ima, do you really have to swallow to get the benefit that you're looking for? No. You really just want to taste the item. You could spit it out too and get the same kind of taste. You don't have to swallow it to get a real sense of the taste of the item. I don't think so. You really do get the taste that you kept it in your mouth and just taste it there and spit it out. The only thing is, it's just easier to swallow. Who wants to spit it out? It's more disgusting. Someone might be there. It's too complicated to do it that way. So the swallowing, when it comes to te'ima, does not necessarily have to be something that you need. you could very easily say that Te'ima does not involve a Kavanas Achila. Refuah, by definition, requires a Kavanas Achila because you have what we call a Kavanas Bulia. Without swallowing the item, you're not going to get the medicinal benefit from the item. So maybe there, the Rambam would say, even though to be Chayav Agracha, you need a Kavanas Achila, you have a Kavanas Achila Legabe Refuah. It is true that my primary purpose is to get Refuah, not to get the Hanah from the item. But the fact is, to get the hanav of refuah, to get the benefit of the refuah, I have to swallow the item. So maybe that's also called a kavanas achila, since I'm eating it in a normal fashion. The only time that the Rambam said that you're not going to make a bracha, that's if you're toying. Because there, the reason why you're swallowing is not because you need to swallow to get the benefit of the te'ima. You're swallowing because it's more convenient for you. You don't really need to swallow. So yeah, the Rambam Taka said there's no fear of bracha until revias, because you don't really have a kavanas achila. You're swallowing just out of convenience, not because you need to swallow. This is what the Shammai Nissan suggests to try to explain the difference between refuah as opposed to te'ima according to the Rambam. What would come out from this is that the Rambam would then agree with Tosfos. The Pshom Zalman would explain that the Rambam would disagree with Tosfos by Tanakhtei Umsa. The Rambam would have to say by Tanakhtei Umsa, even if you take Sham Ashkim, there's no chiyuv bracha. Why? Because there's no kavanas hanav, there's no kavanas achila. According to the Shammai Nissan, we don't have to make a machlokes against the Rambam and Tosfos. We can say that the Rambam will agree to Tosfos that if you drink Sharm Ashkim, then there would be a chiyuv bracha. Why would there be a chiyuv bracha?
Because you have to swallow.
Because you have to swallow, so there is a kavanas achila. Right? It's exactly the same as the refuah that one above.
Why would
that
work for water?
Sorry?
Why would that work for water? What would the difference between water and charamashi be?
Because water has a special halacha that only if you take it with simo, only if you take it to quench its thirst, then that's called an achila shimesh bohanav. Water is special in that regard. But charamashkin, even if you don't take the simo, as long as you have a kavanas achila, there's a chiyuv rav. So the point is, since you need the Sharm Ashkim to dislodge the blockage in your throat, even though if you ask the person why you're taking this, to get the Hanav from the Sharm Ashkim, how about the not? You're taking it l'shem refuah, if you will, l'shem to remove the blockage, refuah. But you need the achila, you have to swallow. If you don't swallow, you're not going to get the benefit. Maybe that's called kavanas achila, and the Rambam would admit that there's a chiyuv bracha for that. So according to the Shammai Nissan, the Rambam does not necessarily have to argue with Tosfos. Even though fundamentally you have a kavanas refuah and not a kavanas hanah, if you will, but there is a kavanas achila, because without swallowing, you're not going to get the refuah benefit. So maybe the Rambam would agree that there would be a chiyuv bracha if you take the Sharm Ashkim. Only if you take the water would there be no chiyuv bracha. So now we can be miyashiv the steer in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch might pass it like the Rambam vis-a-vis Te'ima, because the Shulchan Aruch claims that if you're toying, even if you're Balea, there's no Kavanas Achila. Because your Balea is really not necessary for the Te'ima. To get the benefit of Te'ima, you don't have to swallow, which is a convenience. That's not enough to be Mechayev or Brocha. But when it comes to Chanak Te'umtza, since you have to swallow in order to get the benefit of the liquid, to be able to dislodge the blockage, that might be called a Kavanas Achila. That might be enough to be considered a kavanas achila. So maybe the Rambam would say that there really is a chiyuv bracha. It's only by water where the chiyuv bracha exists only to quench one's thirst. So then there will be no chiyuv bracha if chanak beyumtza and you take the water to dislodge the blockage. Yes.
Part of this explanation of the Rambam, what if you have a cough drop that's less than a bee, put in your mouth? You don't have kavanas achila because you're not going to swallow it, but you have to keep it in your mouth and let it dissolve there and everything.
Okay, we're going to talk about refuah. Okay, we're going to get to that case and we're going to talk about that very circumstance. Okay, so these are two very interesting interpretations of the Rambam. One which would have the Rambam disagreeing with Tosfos later on in Daf Mem Hei, and one which perhaps might reconcile the Rambam with Tosfos. Maybe there's no disagreement whatsoever. And according to the second approach, the approach of the Shammai Nissan, we can also reconcile the seeming stira in the Shulchan Aruch. It's no stira. Okay? Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, maybe as long as you have a kavanas achila, meaning as long as you need the blia in order to get whatever benefit you want, that is called a kavanas achila, and there would be a chiyuv bracha for everything except for water. Let's talk about medicines now. Now that we have the basics of the sugya, think we talked about many of the critical issues over here. Let's try to put them all together, and we'll add some points as well, and let's try to analyze what the halacha should be regarding medicine. Should there be a chiyuv bracha when you take medicines, or should there not be a chiyuv bracha? So if a person is taking a pill, right, we know there are different kinds of medicines. There are syrups and there are pills. So let's start with pills. If a person is taking a pill, even if the pill tastes good, even if they added some kind of flavoring or sweetener to make it taste a little bit better, if a person swallows the pill and doesn't chew the pill, doesn't suck the pill, so presumably there's no chiyuv bracha whatsoever. The truth is, most pills that you're only supposed to swallow, they don't really care to make such a nice flavor, because no one's going to really taste anything anyway. But even if it would be a zap pill, some kind of pill that you know happens to taste good, but you're swallowing it, some of it would be a chiyuv bracha. Why? Because the fact that you're swallowing it, you're not even getting hanaas garo from it. You don't taste anything. There are no taste buds in the throat. There are only taste buds on the tongue. So it's hard to believe there's any hanaas garo, first of all. Secondly, because you're swallowing it, that's shalok derech achila. You're not eating. Eating means chewing. Without chewing, just swallowing something straight, that's not the Pisgachuba Yaradeya, quotes Poskin, who say that bulia is not called achila if you don't chew it up. That's not the normal way to eat. So for two reasons, lechora, if you take a pill, simply by swallowing it, there should be no chiyuv bracha. Now, of course, if you take water to put down the pill, there probably still would not be any chiyuv bracha, because it's like tanak de umtsa. Unless you take a lot of water, if you're thirsty, you take a lot of water, not just take a pill, but you're very thirsty, so then there will be a chiyuv bracha. Most circumstances when you take water to swallow a pill, there's no chiyuv bracha whatsoever, because for the pill, you're simply swallowing. You should look at the achila, and there's no hanas, garon. And for the water, you're simply taking it to swallow the pill, so there's no hanas from the water. You're not shosem mayim with tzimot, so there'll be no chiyuv bracha from the water. Jeff.
About the pill,
but
the sweetener.
Yeah. Which you swallow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The pill you're swallowing is still in your mouth, so therefore you still get that,
you
still feel it.
I'm not so sure you do. I'm not convinced that you do.
I mean,
if you don't chew it, if you don't suck it, I'm not so convinced that you get that kind of honey. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not convinced that that's the case. If a person chews or sucks on the medicine, take, for example, lozenges or cough drops or chewable children's medicine that they make very sweet and the kids love to chew. In fact, when the parents aren't home, they try to steal something. That's why they make them with special safety seals so the kids can't get to them. Or vitamins. I know we get vitamins at home, and it says vitamin C candy. There are candies that are better, but it does taste good. It does taste good. So the stomach, for those medicines, you probably should make a bracha. It's strange. If you take vitamin C candy, which is a good-tasting vitamin, there are different vitamin Cs. Don't get me wrong. There's some vitamin Cs that are not, or multivitamins. That I don't know. They say taste good, but it's advertising poor. You know, I don't really see. But if it really does taste good, I would imagine that you would have to make a bracha. Because the fact is, a person would take a cough drop if they didn't have a regular candy and they're perfectly healthy and a friend had a candy and a friend had a cough drop. A friend is sick and he bought a pack of Ludens and he's taking a cough drop and his chavrusa sees that he's taking a cough drop. He'll offer his friend and the other guy will take it too. Okay, it has some kind of medicine in it, I imagine. I hope not.
There's nothing in Ludens.
There's nothing in Ludens. Okay, but there's some ricotta. Cola. There are brands that make cough drops that do it that aren't Medicaid. But even if it's Medicaid, the buddy will take it just as easily as the other person. So you see that people like that taste. So if you're sucking it, the stomach, that is called a kavanas hanas. So you probably would have to make a bracha on that kind of medicine. And certainly in the case of the children's aspirin, the children's vitamins, they would take it even if they're healthy.
But is that like you're sucking on something that's in your mouth?
Yes, because it's like a candy. It's like a candy. You're sucking on the medicine, but the reason why you enjoy the sucking is because the sugar is a piece of gum. Right? Okay?
So
I think these are the two basic cases.
We have a subcategory of derech achila for candy.
What do you mean
subcategory? With derech achila, so far as you put something in your mouth, you chew it and swallow it. But it can also be that you're just sucking on a candy.
Because that's the derech hakila.
That's the derech hakila for candy.
There's a derech hakila for each, for all kinds of food. It's not just one.
Well, that's, you can't chew a candy. Chew a candy will be good enough for the dentist. So you stop the candy. That's a normal way to chew the candy. That's a normal way to eat the candy and to derive benefit from the candy.
It's like mastering the derech hakila is to swallow it. But if you swallow like the candy, you'll choke. But a pill, if you swallow it, even though it's not within the Torah's mashkin, so that even though you could find another subcategory of Oakland that is there to swallow it, it's a pill, you're doing the pill for a different subcategory.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
I'm not sure, but there's no chiyuv bracha to swallow the pill. Okay. The question that the poskim raise is about a third case of medicines. And that is, let's say you take a medicine. You take a medicine which you are going to have within your mouth. You're not simply going to swallow it. It's like a cough syrup. Not just swallowing it. There is a derech hakila. It's like a regular mashke. The only thing is, it doesn't have a very good taste. It doesn't have a bad taste. It's not like mashkin roye. It doesn't have a bad taste. It has sort of like a medium taste, meaning they flavored it, they sweetened it to neutralize the bad taste of the medicine. That's really what the sweeteners are. They want to get someone to take the cough medicine, so they sweeten it a little bit. I don't know, there are some times that I feel they just didn't do a good job at all. But sometimes it's half decent. It's not great. Look, you'd never take it if you didn't have to take medicine. You would never take this item if you didn't need it for the medicinal purpose. But it doesn't taste so bad. It has what the postman call a tam cholish. It has a weak kind of tam. So the question is, do you make a brach on that, or do you not make a brach on that? Is that called hanas achech, that the chech is being yene? There is some kind of sugar in that. There probably is hanas meya. The question is, would there be hanas garon there? Is the chech being yene? Or would you say that there is no hana, and therefore there's nothing for brach? Chalosh, or Eino Kolkach Tam Tov, they sometimes say. I saw in the Sefer Vezos HaBrocha, beautiful Sefer on Hilchos Brochas, came out a few years ago. I highly recommend it. He has a short version of Brochas in the beginning. He has a Luach HaBrochas. He also describes the different Shitas in the beginning, and then he has Birurei Halacha in the end to describe the more expansive treatment of many of the issues in Hilchos Brachos to discuss with the poskim. So he quotes Machlokas HaPoskim about this. Rabbi Yoshev held that for this kind of medicine there is a chiyuv bracha. Even if the medicine has only a tam kolosh, there is a chiyuv bracha. Why? What's the makor for this? There's no tam tov. Why should there be a chiyuv bracha? Rabbi Yoshev pointed out that this seems to be what the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosa Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch are saying in Siman Reish Dalet Zivches. Let's see this Shulchan Aruch together. Page 7. Shulchan Aruch says in Zivches, Kol ha'ochel v'hamashkim she'odam ochel v'shosa l'rfua im taimum tov v'achech nena mehem v'varech aleyem t'chilu b'sof. Any ochlam amashkim that you're drinking expressly for refuah, im taimum tov, says the Shulchan Aruch, if the taste is good and the chaych is nenamayam, then there's a chiyuv bracha. But what does that mean, taimum tov? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Ritzon Olomar, Aval Misha'eno toiv lahem klal. You don't really want that item at all. Ve'eno ochlam elamach mas ones choyu. You're only eating it because you're forced to. You're sick. Kevan shalko panim achaych nenamayam, you're chayach to make a bracha. Lafuke im heim roi. If they're right, they taste terrible, so there's nothing rough. But if they taste okay, even if they don't taste terribly good, there would still be a chiyuv bracha. And this is what the Shaar Tzion says. Afim taimam einom tov kol kach. Afim taimam einom tov kol kach. Kem sha'akol panim einom roim ve'achek nena mehem. Mashma mimogen avram de'avol became avarech. So why does the Mechaber say taimum tov? He should say, if ain't taimum ra.
says the Shaar HaTzion, Umadanokan HaMachaber Im Taimam Tov, Hu Lav Dafka, Ela La'afuke Im Heim Royim. What the Mechaber really meant to say is, if the Tam is in any way good, meaning it's not bad, so then there's a Chiv Mech HaBracha. The Zer Romas HaMogen Avram Misakotan Yud Tes, the Betosus Lo Nizkar Klal Taimam Tov. Magen Avram points out that Tosus never said that there has to be Taimam Tov. Tosus just says what? Which Tosus? Who Tosus? Our Tosus! Exactly, Nathan. The near and advarm din adam shows the mashkim in a mashkim royim lishtos the less lehanav inay lo boy bruches. It sounds like if it's mashkim royim, Tosus says nothing wrong. But Avram's been dying. It sounds like Tosus, as long as the tam is half decent, even if it's a tam cholosh, there would be a chiyuv bracha. Doesn't have to be a tam tov mamish. Okay, so this is one approach of the Tosus. Rabbi Yoshev holds this way, and several other poskim seem to hold this way as well. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman disagrees vehemently. Jeff, you have something?
According to the Daf and the Rambam, wouldn't you say a bracha for something that is bad?
According to the Rambam, where?
Which one? Yes, we're not a theme of it, so they already have to make a bracha.
Kavana Sachila still requires Hana. You have to be nevis. But the question is, you see, the Rambam is saying the exact opposite. Even if you are nenem, without kavanas achila, there's no chiyuv bracha. So we were trying to figure out, do you have a kavanas achila in all those different circumstances, when you take shemen, kanak deyutz, etc. But if you do get hanah from it, right? If you get hanah from it, and there is kavanas achila, so there should be a chiyuv bracha. Why? If you don't get hanah from it, it can't be. There's no chiyuv bracha for just a kavanas achila alone. There has to be a chiyuv bracha for kavanas achila with hanah. The whole discussion yet is if you have a hanah without kavanas achila, is there a chiyuv bracha? But if you get hanah if you have a kavanas achila without hanah, why should there be a chiyuv bracha? Also, the hanah has been all one of the bracha. Without hanah, why are you not going to have a chiyuv bracha? Even if there is kavanas achila. The whole discussion, Machlokes, according to the Kesef Mishnah, Machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, is if you have Hanah without a Kavanas Achila. But having a Kavanas Achila without a Hanah certainly doesn't have enough to do. Okay? This is one approach of the Poskim that, based on this Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham, you get the impression that it's a diuk from Asugya Tosfos. That the only time that you're not going to make a bracha for Rufua is if it's Mashkim Roya. But if it's not Mashkim Roya, not really putrid, bitter tasting medicines, if it's somewhere in the middle, it's not quite right, it's not quite good, it's sort of a tam cholosh, there would be a chiyuv bracha because, again, there is a kavanas achila. You do intend to eat it, according to the Rambam, or according to Tosfos, you don't need a kavanas achila. There is a hanah koldehu. There's some kind of hanah. It's not bitter. As long as it's not bitter, there's a hanah koldehu. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. The Sefer Vezos HaBracha quotes, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that for a tam cholosh, if you take a medicine that has only a tam cholosh because of its flavoring, there's no chiyuv bracha. No chiyuv bracha. Aye, Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, Tosfos. Shlomo Zalman said, no, they're not talking about this case. All the poskim, Tosfos and Magen Avraham, etc., they're talking about a case where you're eating food. You're eating a mach. No, this lashon of Shulchan Aruch is called ochlen v'hamashkim. You're eating a maichal or a mashke, but you're eating it l'shem refuah. So there, since it's a maichal, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that's why there's going to be a chiyuv bracha. But if you take a medicine, which is not a maichal, there's never a chiyuv bracha on that. Rav Shlomo Zalman's fish. Second fish.
Oh, never a chiyuv bracha.
You can't have a chiyuv bracha.
Unless it tastes good.
No, if it tastes very good, then maybe it's like a maichal already. Maybe it's like a candy. I will talk about it in a second. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that if you take a maichal l'shem refuah, it depends. Right? If you take a maichal, so if it's very bitter, there's no chiyuv bracha. If it's tam cholosh, then there would be a chiyuv bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. But if you take something which is not a maichal at all, the only time that there's going to be a chiyuv bracha is what? If time o tov. It has to have a very good taste. Because if it has a very good taste, if it's sweetened, if the medicine is sweetened so much, that's like taking a candy.
What
Just like you make a bracha of shahakal on a candy, you make a bracha on this. Yeah.
Would we consider it something that's not food, but still has a good taste?
Again?
Or would it be something considered that's not food, but has a good taste?
That's exactly what we were talking about before. Chewable tablets.
That's the
lozenges. Lozenges is a food. A chewable aspirin is food. I don't think anyone would say it's food. The sugar coating is food. That's exactly the point. Since it's time of cold, so therefore it's like a candy. It's sweet. So if it's sweet, there will be a geographer, no less than a candy.
But if it's not sweet enough, what is this?
It's not an ultra. It's a refuah. It flows out and says, there's no geographer on something that's a refuah, only something that's an ultra. It's a big fish. Why should I assume that that's the case? Moshe.
Well, it seems like he's comparing it to water.
Water.
When water is a refuah, when something's caught in your throat, and you wouldn't make bracha on that because there's no real taste, there's no hanaf of it. Therefore, so if you buy this medicine, which is you get hanaf from the refuah, but not much from the taste. Not good, not bad. So it's like water, no bracha.
I don't know. You know, water is always viewed as something special, something different. You're saying something which doesn't have a very good taste, it only has a part of a taste, so
it's
maybe
neutral.
So it's like a neutral item. It's like water. It's like water. Since you're not drinking it to quench your thirst, so therefore, it's not your brother. Interesting. Very interesting.
I saw the Sefer Shalmei Nisan wants to bring two other rises, not so much to compare it to water, but to show from the posting, from the Rishonim, that you don't, there's no chiyuv bracha on something which is not a maichel, something which is not a food. The first raya that the Sefer Shalmei Nisan quotes is from Rashi later on in Daf Lamed Ches. We'll get to the details of this Gemara later on. This is a very important Gemara for Bori Min Zonos issues, which we'll have to get to. That's a very, very important issue. But first let's just see the Gemara for our context, for the refuah element in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Melches Amad Aleph, Shtisa, Rav Amar Shakol Niyad, Baruch Shvul Amar Bari Min Arizonis. Shtisa. What is Shtisa? Shtisa basically means that you take grains and you make it into some kind of a food. Parish, well that's the question. The Gemara says there are two kinds of Shtisa. There's a Shtisa Rak and a Shtisa Oh. Okay? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Chokas Rav Shvul, which then it says, not a focus at all, Rav Shmuel doesn't disagree. They both agree about every case, just they're talking about different cases. Rav says, make a shakal on shtisa. He's talking about what kind of shtisa? Shtisa rak. Shmuel says, you make a bari min Arizonos of shtisa. What kind of shtisa is he talking about? Shtisa of a parage. So on a parage, you'll make a bari min Arizonos. On a shtisa raka, you'll make a shakal, because it's not of. That's the bari min Arizonos angle that we're going to have to get to. Because the Gemara is going to say, "Kol sheyeshba mechameshes min yadogan mevarfum lo bari min mezonos." So that's the question: why should I not make a mezonos on shtisa raka? It does have the same mezonos that the shtisa oven has. Why should I make a bari min mezonos on beer? Some most of the people are drinking the beer on that.
I don't know if they have kibbutz
achila. Okay,
fine. Here's something: because beer has actually changed from where it was.
It's a refuah.
The beer is steeped. The tops are steeped in some kind of liquid. That's what makes the beer. It's coculo mezonos. It has a tam mezonos. What's the difference between that and the and I don't know, porridge that has barley in it, a cholent, if you will? It also has barley in it. You make a mezonos on cholent. People make a mezonos on cholent, unless one of the potatoes is recognizable, it's somewhat bigger, if it's just a little stew, you make a mezonos because it has barley in it, and barley is the taste of the item. So why should you make a mezonos on beer? From this Gemara, you see that you don't make a mezonos on beer. It would seem. So we'll talk about that. This is my focus of Rishon, and we'll discuss the details of that sugya later. But the Gemara is bothered. It says, we know from a braisa that shtisa raka is drunk lirfuah. It's drunk for medicinal purposes, as the Brisa says, that you're not allowed to prepare it on Shabbos because you can't prepare refuahs on Shabbos. We're not going to discuss the details then. So the question is, the Gemara, at the end of the piece, the Gemara comes around to say that gavra la'achila kamachabin urefuah memela kahavya. The refuah comes naturally, comes by itself, but the person really has a kavanas achila.
Fine. So the Gemara says, Utzricha de Rav Shmuel. Why do you need this halacha of Rav? Rav says that you make a shahakol on shtisa raka. Why do I need that? It's obvious I should make a shahakol on it. Why? Says the Rashi, Avagav the Tanya le'inyan Shabbos, the ochel hu, mutal ochel v'shabbos. Even though from the Braisa that says the Shabbat Shabbosheshin is Hashkus v'shabbos v'shos and Zeisam ha-mitzri, if you're allowed to make the Shkus on Shabbos and mix it around, it must be an ochel, because if it's not an ochel, it'll be also on Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't drink a refuah. Midrabah. So the fact that you can prepare it on Shabbos means that it must be an ochel. So if it's an ochel, isn't it obvious that you have to make a brach on it? Says the Gemara, the same thing it says on Lamed Vav. Butzricha the Rav, the imei hai have amina lachila kamachavin erufuam lemeila kahavi. I would think that on Shabbos it's mutter because your kavan is really a kavanas achila, not a kavanas refuah. Abel hocha kevin lachatchila lerufuah kamachavin lo liverchat ilave klal. I would think that since you have a kavanas, that since you're mechaven lerefuah, there's no chiyuv bracha. Kamash v'lam kevin isle anam yinei b'ay bruchei.
If he's having a refuah, then he can have it on Shabbos.
There, in the case of Shabbos, he's mechaven l'achila, and the refuah happens by itself. But hocha, when Rav said that you make a shahakol on the shtisa, he's talking about what? The chiddush is that even if you have your kavana l'shem refuah, Rav is saying you should still make a shahakol on it because you are getting hana. No, the case of Shabbos where it's mutter to make is where you really want to eat it, but the refuah happens by itself. But Rav is talking about a case in which you really just want to eat it, and the refuah is going to happen really then. It's going to benefit you, but there are chagas. So that's the same as Nagimar. Even if you take something l'shem refuah, if you do get hanah from it, there's a chiyuv bracha. Right? That's what our Gemara says. Yes?
If someone's sick and they're taking something that will give them refuah, how can they say, I really what I want to do is eat this, and the refuah doesn't make a difference? I don't think you'd be eating it in the first place if you wouldn't get refuah.
Depends. If a person normally has a cup of tea every single morning, even if he has a sore throat in the morning, there's no question that he's drinking the tea because he likes the tea also.
Is it
that just one?
Again, but if you drink the tea, even with shame before, but since you're getting hung off of it, it'll be hiding like a rough anyway. That's exactly what Rav is teaching.
But you're drinking it, you're not eating it for the feel of the shit, you're doing it for the refuah. So you have to get hung off. So
that's
it should
the
be
point.
The opposite, the opposite right. way. They're eating the shame before, but you also have to get hung off.
Which case? The case of the tea. Let's say someone never drinks tea in the morning, but he's drinking it l'shem refuah. But if he derives benefit from it, he should have to make a brach on it. Why not?
But it doesn't say that he. It says he's.
Kevin the l'refuah kamachaven lo livrach ilave klal kamash one kevin the isle hanoa minei boy bruchim. Your kavon is a kavonas refuah, but since there is some kind of hanoa, there's a chiyuv brach. That's exactly the case that you're mentioning. It's even more than the Shulchan Aruch, because in the case of the tea, if you're adding sugar, it tastes good. It really tastes good. Right, correct. So the Sefer Shalmaneser just points out a Rashi. The Gemara sounds like our Gemara. Basically the same Lashon as our Gemara. But Rashi adds a very important point. Rashi says at the end of the Gemara, "Hafigar zin the sadar etach amina kevin de l'refu kamachavin loli boy bracha kamashulan kevin de mesani minei shaharei meichel hu boy bruchem." Rashi adds, "Kevin de mesani minei shaharei meichel." Rashi clearly seems to imply that the chiyuv bracha only exists if something is a meichel. There's no chiyuv bracha on something which is not a meichel.
You
wouldn't have to make a bracha on medicine unless it tastes very good. Because if it tastes very good, if the flavoring is very tasty, then it's like a candy.
So
you really, it's almost like you have two parts to this medicine. It does produce some kind of medicinal benefit, but the reason why you enjoy it is because of the candy in it. So it could very well be that you'd be trying to make a bracha because of that enjoyable taste, even though there is a medicine like a cough drop.
It's like bracha, not normal.
Like what? That what? Yes, 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 exactly. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that there is no chiyuv bracha on a refuah if there's like a power of a taste. Doesn't taste so good. Why? Because the only time that you'll be chayav to make a bracha on something which is not a maichel is if it tastes very good. Because if it tastes very good, then there's a real kavanas hanov, right? Or as we want to say, then maybe it's called a maichel because it's no less than a candy. But if it doesn't have a very good taste, then it remains a refuah, it remains a medicine. It's not a maichel. And you see from this Rashi, says the Shammai Nisan, that if something is not a maichel, there's no chiyuv bracha on it. He quotes another very beautiful rhyme from the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Sefer Avodrum, one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Nedovid Avodrum. This is the last page, page 12, who says that Koseis Ha'orez Odocha Mevarek Barek Pri Adama, will get to the Gemara later, that if you eat rice raw or if you eat wheat raw, you make a Hadama on it. In those times they used to eat it raw. The Akosis says as Orim, the Avodrum says, if you eat the barley raw, Einam Uvarach Alein Klum, Mipneshu Michael Bahema, Ad Kan Lashonu. The Avodrum says that if you eat barley raw, there's no chiyuv bracha. The Beis Yosef screams, Ve'ein Zatam Kla! It's ridiculous, he says. The Kevan Shenene, Avo Pishu Michael Bahema, Lama Lo Yavarach Alav. Beis Yosef asks, why should I make a bracha? There's Hano. What's the Avodrum hold?
Maybe because
the drum says, Sar is Michael Behema. It's not Michael Olam. There's no Chiyuv Bracha on Michael Behema. Only on Michael Olam can there be a Chiyuv Bracha. Only on Michael Olam is there going to be a Chiyuv Bracha. You can't say, oh, because it tastes so good, it's like a candy. It doesn't taste so good. But that, it's Michael Behema. Michael Behema is nothing to talk about. It doesn't compare to the case of refuah that's really flavored with a very tasty sweetener. That's like a candy. It's a different story. But here, even if you do derive benefit, what kind of benefit are we talking about here? Do you enjoy the taste? Maybe a little bit. I can't imagine that the sour tastes so good. You enjoy the taste a little bit. Does it give you hanas mea? Probably. But if it's Michael Behema, maybe there's nothing to talk about. There's no chiyuv bracha whatsoever. Shlomo Zalman wants to claim that this is the case when it comes to medicines that have this power of a kind of time. If they only have a power of a time, since they're not a Michael, you can't be mechayev a bracha for that. If they have a very good time, so then perhaps there would be a reason to be mechayev a bracha, because then, as we keep on saying, then it would have a din of a candy, and then the mele there would be a chayev bracha. It might even be called a maichel. That aspect of the medicine might not be called a maichel. Yes.
The mitzvah thing holds something right. So he's consistent with his opinion.
Beis Yosef might hold actually.
Where he said,
The Beis Yosef might hold something different. The Beis Yosef might say that that even on a Michael Behema, if you do derive benefit from it, and if someone might eat it, if people could eat it, so maybe that's not so far removed from a Shem Michael. Maybe it really is called a Michael. A medicine is not even Michael Behema. Maybe Michael Behema, if a person is really pushed against the wall, he might not eat it. It does give nutrition, and maybe he will enjoy it a little bit. Maybe that's what the Beis Yosef is disagreeing about. He says, maybe this is not, maybe since you're getting hanas, so what that it's a Michael Behema? So what? But you are eating it. You're eating it l'shem achila. So maybe if you're eating it l'shem achila, that action defines it as a Michael vis-a-vis you. Maybe that's what the Beis Yosef is saying. I'm not sure what the Beis Yosef is saying. At least you see from the Avodrum clearly that he assumes that there's no chiyuv bracha on something which is
maybe this is why Mr. Brura said that.
Okay, just to add to this, the Shammai Nisan adds two other tziruvim lahakel to explain why he thinks that if a medicine doesn't taste very good, there's no chiyuv bracha. And this comes back to the other points that we were making earlier. Rav Shlomo Zalman, first of all, interpreted the Rambam to be saying that if you don't have kavanas hana, if you don't have kavanas achila, there's no chiyuv bracha. So according to that interpretation of the Rambam, there really should be a chiyuv bracha in any medicine. Maybe even if it tastes good, because you're really taking it l'shem refuah, you're not taking it l'shem achila. What you have to say is that if it really tastes good, since you would eat it
even if you weren't sick, like in the case of a cloth trap, you have to say that you really are taking it for the hamartu. You do derive benefit. Yes, it gives you a medicinal benefit as well, but since you do derive a hanas afech from it, so then that is called a kavanas hanas. Maybe that's why the rabbi would say that you'd be chayav to make a brach. But something that doesn't have a very good taste, if it has like a parable taste, a tam chalosh, according to the Rambam, from Zaman's understanding of the Rambam, there should be no chiyuv bracha because there is no kavanas hanas. You don't have kavanas hanas when you take robitussin, when you take some kind of cloth syrup that doesn't really taste good. Some of them are really putrid, but even if it's not really good, it doesn't taste sweet, you really take it for cloth, that's all. You're not taking it for the enjoyment that you're receiving. If you assume that the Rambam holds without a kavanas hanas, there's no chiyuv bracha, so that's another reason to assume that there's no chiyuv bracha. And finally, remember way back when we started the sugya, we talked about when you put shemen together with a nigron in the tarovas, when do you make a bracha on it, and when do you not? When do you make ha'etz on the shemen? So we mentioned it, the machlokas are shonim, do we follow rov, do we follow kavana? Some rishonim wanted to say that if it's choshesh v'gronim and you have a kavanas refua, so then the shemen becomes the ikar, and you would make a bracha. Now keep in mind, the shemen is the ochel. The shemen is the ochel. We're trying to figure out if you make a bracha. So if you're choshish begrono, what's the ikar? The item that you want to get that you're taking for the medicine. If you're choshish begrono, the ikar is the item that you're taking for the medicine. So if you extrapolate to our case, what should come out? That if the koveya, when it comes to medicines, if you have a mixture of different items, the koveya, the defining factor, is always what the kavanas ha'adam is. So then the stomach, when you take a pill, or if you take a syrup, the kavana of the person is clearly on the refuah, not on the sweetener at all. So you should never have to make a bracha in the shul. But even if you take the approach of the other Rishonim, the Rimagash, and Rashi, who assume what? Who assume that maybe the kavanas ha'adam is not the koveya, maybe the robe is the koveya, so then it should depend on the particular syrup that you have. I don't know what the mitzvah is the syrup. What's the robe and what's the meal? What's the minority, what's the majority? Is it mostly medicine or is it mostly sweetener?
So what would you say about
a pill? Though? I don't know. It would depend. Well, a pill, again, it depends how you take the pill. If you swallow the pill without tasting it, so then that's not derech achila, and you're not really deriving benefit anyway. Sorry?
If
you're chewing on it, it's a good ha'ara. If you're chewing on it,
probably you have to make a lesson because the majority is the sweet.
The majority is probably, yeah, I'm assuming the majority is the sweet. I'm assuming the majority is the sweet. So then you would have to make a bracha. So it would come out that according to the Baha, according to the Baha's understanding of the sugya of Shemen, there would be another reason why you shouldn't have to make a bracha on a flavored cloth syrup. A mildly flavored cluster. Why? Because again, if whenever you have a mixture of different ingredients, we follow Machsheves HaAdam in terms of defining what is the ikar and what's the tafel, the ikar over here is going to be the refuah, it's going to be the medicine in the cluster, not the sweetener. So it's not the sweetener, there's no reason to make the bracha on the sweetener, because ikar the tafel should come in, you can only make a bracha on the ikar, you're not going to make a bracha on the tafel. It's just tafel, it's serving the medicine. There shouldn't be any reason to make it up. So it comes out, there are three reasons, perhaps, why we could be makil in the case of a medicine that only has a power of a kind of taste, not such a good taste, that you shouldn't have to make a bracha. First of all, since it's not a michael, there are different sources that would indicate that there's no clear bracha whatsoever. Secondly, we're from Zalman's understanding of the Rambam, that if there's no kavanas hanah, there's no clear bracha, that also would lead you to believe that there shouldn't be a chiyuv bracha here as well, because the person is taking it b'shem hafu is not taking it b'shem hana. And finally, because we're talking about a mixture, according to the Bahag, since machsheves ha'adam always is koveh, what's the ikar, what's the tafel when it comes to mixtures, the kavanas ha'adam clearly is on the medicinal benefit. It's on the refuah of the mixture. So since that's the ikar, you shouldn't have to make a bracha on the sweetener. If the sweetener is so good, tastes so good, that a person would want to take it even when they're not sick, So presumably, you really can't say that the kavanas ha'adam is only on refuah. The stomach's kavanah is even on the sweetener. It's even to get hana from the sweetener. It's like a sugared item. It's like a candy. And then presumably, in that case, you would have to make a blocker.